Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. Welcome to the UR Tennis Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS TCA perspective on high school tennis. I think we have an outstanding show for you today. I do want to thank all of you that let us know how much you enjoyed last week's show with Scott Williams. I especially enjoyed some of the emails and Facebook notification that they have other coaches that talk about their the values of Christian bringing into sports, and they're proud to have those coaches, and we're proud to have those coaches aboard too. So I do thank you for the show. I think you're going to find today's show just as exciting. I would like to remind you, first I'd like to remind you that tell your friends to come to the UR Tennis Network, because this is where you're going to find all your tennis news, and we have many shows for you. Hopefully yesterday you heard Coach Chuck Reese's show. He had a legend that we all know and respect, and he has a very interesting article on the opinion page of the Florida Tennis Magazine. So if you haven't read Florida Tennis Magazine yet, you might pick that up. If somebody's taken it from your tennis club and you're not getting a subscription to it, just go to our website, and you can always read the last issue of Florida Tennis Magazine there. I want to remind you that now that the high school tennis season is on, our next step is the FHS TCA All-Star High School All-Star Tournament, which is for seniors. It'll be the following weekend after the FHSAA State Championship. And this will be our fifth year of sending seniors on the next journey through life, trying to sit there and make sure they have good memories of high school. We want to especially thank Wilson Sports. They will again be providing goodies for all the players. We will be using the Wilson tennis ball naturally. And, of course, those goodies will be in Dean Street Insurance Backpack, which Dean Street has been, we're proud to say, has been a very important member of our organization. They also provide the Community Service Award. As I've said many times, when you look at a high school athletic program, the successful ones are the ones that have the community behind them. So we appreciate Dean Street Insurance presenting the Community Service Award. If you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to www.deanstreetinsurance.com. And, of course, Team Connection will again be dressing our players and coach. And so we know our team's going to look good again, because, again, they will be provided with uniforms from Team Connections. They are the FHS TCA clothier, and you can get all your stuff online from them. And we hope that you support the people that support us. excited. I'm especially excited about today's show because it's a gentleman that I can say I've been proud to work for about 20 years. I see he's on now, but before I allow him to come in, because he won't want me to tell him somewhere I'm going with this here, well, let me let him in anyway. Coach, are you there?
Coach, I am. Thank you very much for the invite to participate this evening.
Well, thank you. Let me tell you something about our guest today. E. Michael Stutsky has been recognized an accomplished educator for Indian River County for the past 25-plus years, a graduate of Villanova University, ex-Marine. He's really been a leader in our community. He's taken over as the Sebastian River High School opened in 1994. He was the first athletic director there. He earned his certified athletic administration designation through the NIAA in 1988. And probably one of the reasons he's been a supporter of the FHSTCA and our certified program is because he himself is a certified master athletic administrator. He received that designation back in 2002. He has been a member of the editorial board of the Athletic Management magazine. He serves on the FHSAA Handbook Revision Committee. It goes on and on, but let me tell you how I first met this gentleman and why I've been so proud to be part of his program for 20 years. And, Coach, you can correct me. I know I'm much older than you, and my memory goes in and out sometime. But I believe my first recognition when I met Mr. Stutsky, he was, I think it was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. The school was just opening up. And he knew he had a job to do because, quite frankly, we were in a county where the school, there was controversy about the school opening, the needs, the lack of support. And he was out getting support for the program, getting the community involved. You heard me talk many times how important community was. And he was tirelessly going out there to the community. When I first met him, I was impressed because I think the first thing he said was Semper Fi. So I don't know if he recognized my watch or if he saw my glasses that I wore with the sticker on them. But whatever it was, knowing that he sat there and he looked and listened to people was important to me. At the time, I was president of the Florida Division of the Professional Tennis Registry, and naturally, I volunteered my time with the coach. I can't remember her name at the time, truthfully, but I was helping out with doubles. I was encouraging tennis pros to get the kids involved in high school tennis, and I think I was doing a pretty good job. After high school, I did notice that here's this gentleman, the last person to leave the high school, continuously around, continuously interested in students, and going in to talk to him one day, I learned another lesson. He's not going to let your ego get in your way. I thought I was doing a pretty good job of promoting high school tennis, and he said to me, Coach, why don't you put your money where your mouth is? And I said, excuse me? And he said, why don't you take over our tennis program here, and let's get it going? And I knew then, I've known for the next 20 years, how important his number one priority was the student athletes at that school. And as much as he loves the coaches and involved there, he loves those student athletes, and they come first, and he's not going to let your ego get in your way. Now, Coach, you can correct the audience where I missed here and fill in the blanks of who you are and where you're coming from, if you would, before we get into the questions.
Of course, Coach, and you have an excellent memory. And actually, as you were going through things, it kind of jogged my mind a little bit. The tennis coach at the time was Ann Lau when we opened in 1994, high school that opened with 850 students and today has roughly 1,800 students, 12 different sports offered when we opened, and now 20 different sports. And so we've grown, and it's been a wonderful experience, and certainly your contributions to our tennis program and certainly continuing within our community in general has always been greatly appreciated. But your memory is great as far as the beginning of the school and the tough times we had in the very beginning. For me, it has been a privilege over the years to have served as president of the State Association of High School Athletic Directors, and have also been involved in the Leadership Training Institute for athletic directors around the state and teaching courses at the FIAAA conference. So just the whole athletic experience has been terrific. And as we have discussed, not that I count the days, but my retirement is coming up on June 30th. And when I reflect on the individuals that I've worked with over the years and the fine coaches we've had here at Sebastian River and certainly your contributions, it's really been a privilege. I think any of us that coach and administer high school sports in the United States are very, very fortunate. We set the bar for around the world when it comes to high school or the secondary athletic experience.
Well, that's for sure, Coach. And you're talking about the day you're leaving, and as I retired 2 years from now, I think this year I'm pretty much out of it. I'm still in there occasionally doing my volunteer work, but so hard to step out, and I think it's so hard for a new coach to get involved in the program. I'm assuming it's going to be the same thing for the athletic director. Are you going to be able to just leave? As it would seem as though, it would seem as though the school board would want you hanging around for a little while and helping the new athletic director get his or her feet wet and know what the school's about. I mean, you know, we've had 29 people go to our National Military Academies, graduates from our school since 1998. I mean, is there arrangements to do that, or am I out in left field somewhere?
No, not at all. We actually opened the position up a couple of weeks ago. Mr. Todd Racine, our principal, is in the process of gathering applications, and then there'll be a committee that obviously will select my successor, and Mr. Racine has asked me to be part of it. Our hope is that we'll have somebody in place by mid to late April, and that will give me roughly a 60-day period. We're obviously looking for someone who's experienced in high school athletics as a high school athletic administrator, and that should make the transition very smooth. As you know, we're blessed to have a great athletic secretary in Krista Betts, who's been with me for 11 years, and she'll aid in the transition. But what I'm looking for is a seamless transition. But I might add that I'm reminded of a quote of the great playwright Tennessee Williams when he said that there is a time for departure even when there is no certain place to go. And so for me, although I know where I'll be going immediately, the idea is that you let that new person, when they come on board, that you turn over the helm and it's their ship to steer. And I feel very confident that whoever we select here at Sebastian River will not only carry on a lot of the wonderful things that we like to think that we've accomplished, but they'll make their mark with the program, and the most important thing is that the student athletes at Sebastian River will be well looked for and cared for, and that's what really is important. So I'm not concerned about it. I have all the confidence in the system that is in place to select a successor and move our program forward. As I've shared with Mr. Racine, I believe that the best 20 years for our high school is getting ready to happen, because the foundation has been poured with a great coaching staff and a very supportive community now. The high school and the high school athletic program in particular is poised for what I feel will be some rather significant gains. So we're in good shape. We're in good shape, and the next couple of months I hope will be enjoyable, and they will be ones that I will be able to assist our coaching staff in making the transition.
Well, I'm sure the future is in front of us, and the next 20 years is going to be even greater, but they're going to be greater because of what's in place now. I mean, maybe you'd like to talk about just one of the items. I mean, certify athletic trainers. You know, when I talked about that years ago, there was almost no such thing in the schools. Now I think it's... Well, I don't know. You would know better than me, but I think what we have in place there, I think what you're done in Title IX, stuff like that there. I remember going to West Palm Beach with you with the drug and steroid testing. I mean, there's no question that you've left the foundation here that probably even somebody like me wouldn't mess up, but... For instance, big talk, and now I was watching the football draft or the training getting ready with the concussions. Would you like to just talk about the certified athletic trainers before we get into what I like to talk about is tennis and, you know, where you see that going? Is it going fast enough or not?
Well, honestly, I don't think that we are moving fast enough in this country to employ certified athletic trainers at all high schools. Our school, I think, is a very good example of when you open and you recognize the need for having certified athletic trainers and you make every effort to employ them. For instance, you may recall when we first opened, we brought on a certified athletic trainer. A gentleman's name was Bo Vichazone. It was really outside the box. No one in the area employed a full-time certified athletic trainer. All of our student athletes contributed $15 for every sports season that they were involved in so that we could afford to have the services of a professional. We found after 3 years that the school district of Indian River County had a net savings of over $100,000 based on the services of the trainer and making sure that there wasn't the need to rush off to the emergency room and incurring those costs that drive up healthcare for student athletes on the part of school districts, especially if families don't have insurance. For the last 11 years, Hillary Lang, our trainer, who, as we all know, does a fantastic job, represents an interesting statistic. Slightly over 50% of all high schools in the United States have certified athletic trainers as part of their staff. Given today what we're dealing with concussion and concussion management, I think it is so very important where programs have impact sports that a certified athletic trainer is part of that coaching staff. So for anyone that's listening that is part of a school that doesn't have a certified athletic trainer, that would be an item that a school should look at, that the community in general should support, and they should fund. Failure to have a certified athletic trainer as part of your secondary athletic program leaves the school and the school district open for what I believe is a very large window of possible lawsuits. In a litigious society today, it is better to go in fully equipped to defend your position. And by having an athletic trainer, you are really in the position to share with the families of young people that may be injured that they receive prompt care, and prompt care not by someone who is good at taping ankles, but by someone who has been trained
to work closely with a team physician or the local medical community. And that, of course, is what a certified athletic trainer provides. And there's a difference between someone who is calls themselves an athletic trainer and a certified licensed practitioner. And that, of course, is what we have here at our high school and have had for the past 22 years.
And it's been a blessing. There's no two ways about it. And I think it's important. One of the other big things that we've been having a lot of discussion about, and when I talk to the college coaches, the pros and cons of Title IX and how it affects other sports. The University of Hartford just lost their men's tennis team. But I think that looking back, and I remember losing one of my girls because of a new program you took, brought in, and rugby. It was the first time in the country. I don't see how anybody could say that how important Title IX is today. And it's not just because of Supreme Court, but look, the overall look over. Would you like to just talk a little bit about that, because and how you can incorporate it like you did, where it doesn't necessarily mean that you know, the boys are going to be losing programs?
Well, I think that, well, first of all, you mentioned the Supreme Court ruling in 1972. When schools and universities, colleges, are forced with making cuts because they are not Title IX compliant, they only have themselves to blame. With almost 40 years since Title IX was handed down by the Supreme Court, the failure of institutions to recognize equality in sports for men and women, I think, is a very sad commentary. So how do schools avoid the problem of being non-compliant? It's very simple. The Office of Civil Rights has printed materials that guide institutions. And as long as one is willing to recognize whether or not his or her program is compliant, again, there shouldn't be any issues. The best way to find if you are compliant is just to simply ask the question, are the facilities, are the coaching opportunities, are the opportunities in athletics, are they equal for women, in the case of the secondary institutions, are they equal for girls as they are for boys? And if you have more opportunities for boys, more sports, well, then you need to make a conscientious effort to provide greater opportunities for girls. It's easy to do. You think outside of the box and you look to emerging sports, and that's what we did here at Sebastian River. You may recall back in 1995, we instituted girls lacrosse. At the time, I had colleagues that thought that, you know, I was half out of my mind, and I remember sharing with them that originally coming from the Northeast, lacrosse was very popular. And sure enough, today, lacrosse is the fastest growing sport for both boys and girls in the United States. But lacrosse represented back in the mid-90s an opportunity for schools to add a new sport and to begin to equalize their athletic programs if they were not compliant. You mentioned the girls' rugby program, which we put in place here 7 years ago. You have to have a willingness to explore beyond the traditional, to bring sports onto your campus that provide opportunity. Not every young lady, not every young man is cut out to throw a football or to bounce a basketball or to set a volleyball or, quite frankly, or to pick up a tennis racket. But that doesn't mean that there cannot be an opportunity for them, if you will, outside of traditional sports to become involved. And that's what Title IX is about. It's about equal opportunity. So for the high school or collegiate athletic administrator that is doing a Title IX overview, you look to see what opportunities you have for both male and female. Are they equal? If they are, you check that off. Then you look at facilities. There was a case that came down the pike about a decade or so ago. A school here in Florida had lights on their baseball field. And they did not have lights on their softball field. And a parent came in and asked the athletic administrator at that school when they were going to put lights up in softball. And he said, well, we have no intention of doing that. Our boosters in baseball put them up for the baseball team. The parent put the athletic administrator on notice and said, well, until you have lights up over in softball, don't turn the lights on in baseball. That was a cold, hard reality check. Equal opportunity for opportunities to, if you will, to play sports, play in sports, then you have to have facilities that are like. And that means if you have lights on the boys' baseball field, then have lights on the girls' softball field. And sometimes people say, well, gosh, you know, where do you get the money to do it? Well, you should never have built the one facility with lights without the other one having it. It's not equal. Same thing with locker rooms. Making sure that young ladies today have the same opportunity to have showers and lockers and private areas to dress, just like we've provided boys and young men in college over the years. So if your facilities are like, you can check that box off. And then you look at your coaching opportunities. You know, is your institution making opportunities available for young girls, young women, to be coached by women? You know, it's not written in stone anywhere that men are the only ones that can coach. And this day and age, we have a generation of women coming through that, let's face it, they're daughters. They now have moms who played soccer, who played basketball, who played volleyball, were members of the crew team. And so what you have is a generation of women who have already been involved in sports, and they are the ones that were trailblazers. And now today they expect, and rightly so, that their daughters will be treated equally and will have the coaching opportunities. They will have individuals coaching them that are not just there getting a supplement, but they are there because they have played the sport, maybe they've been a scholarship athlete, and now they are able to share their experiences from the female side of the sport, and therefore able to promote the sport and to help young girls learn and mature and excel in the sport of choice. That's what Title IX essentially is about.
Very good. You know, I'm looking at some notes, and when I told people you were coming on, I had asked for some questions, and three things came up on the top of them. And I don't know if I should address these in the order that they came up that the most people asked about, or if they're another order. And I'll keep track of them because I think they should be discussed, and I'm not sure if they're all together. One of them was, what can we do today to curb the rise of negative parenting behavior when it comes to good sportsmanship and athletic events? A problem, yes, but now does it lead into, and this is why I'm going to throw the three of them out and you address which one you want to address first. Are club teams, comp teams, hurting or helping high school athletics? And the other one was, is there a need for coaches in all sports, whether public or private, to be sports-specific certified? I have my own bias on that, naturally. But would you like to address them in any order you feel fit? And maybe there's not three questions. Maybe there are two. I don't know.
Well, I think actually that you could draw a line through all three of them because they are in many ways connected. Let's take a look first at our club teams, comp teams, hurting or helping the high school athletic experience. The experience at the comp and travel programs is much different than the high school experience. And what do I mean by that? At the high schools, there are some very strict rules and regulations that coaches and student athletes must follow. Every state in the United States has a state organization. And obviously in the state of Florida here, it's the Florida High School Athletic Association. The governing body for all of high school sports out of Indianapolis is the National Federation of High Schools. They set all of the rules in place. And then, of course, the state associations adopt those rules and regulations. And then, of course, the state, each individual state has their own state-specific rules. So there is a great deal more structure in the high school athletic experience as opposed to the comp travel-type programs, which, let's keep in mind, parents shell out a considerable amount of money for their sons and daughters to be part of it. That being said, we now focus on, you know, who's running these programs. These are individuals that are making quite a bit of money, and I don't take anything away from them. However, I believe that they, and this is the humble opinion of a high school athletic director of 22 years, have made it very difficult at the high school level for expectations that parents have. An individual that's being paid to coach a young person is obviously going to give that individual what we would hope would be good instruction. But at the same time, they're going to share with that student that perhaps maybe they have tremendous potential. And so what develops is an attitude from the young person that they are better than. And the parents take on that feeling of, well, my daughter, my son has this great potential because Coach so-and-so said so. And they enjoy this comp travel program, and then they come to the high school, and they join the high school team. And the high school coach is not being paid but nickels on the dollar to work with young people. They obviously have a passion to coach that particular sport, and their job now is to pick a team. So they pick a team of qualified individuals, and they begin the season, and very quickly – we have parents who feel that their commentary, their opinion, is so valued that the coach must listen to what they have to say, and the coach is wrong because the comp coach said, or in our travel program, this is what we do. So I think that the failure of parents to recognize that the travel programs that are out there are so very different than the high school interscholastic programs that it is extremely unfair on the part of parents to set expectations for their daughter, who is now a member of a team that is governed by a far more structured set of rules than the comp programs are. And you end up with problems. And we see it all the time. It is sometimes very difficult for parents to understand that the high school athletic experience is much different, and it is designed to be much different than the program that they're paying good money for their child to have the experience of playing, whether it's soccer or lacrosse or whatever the case may be. And so I'm going to emphasize a word that oftentimes we leave out, which we should not. The high school athletic experience should be fun. I emphasize the word fun. The one question I ask on our campus of our student athletes all the time is, are you having fun? And when a student looks at me and says, you know, Coach Stutzke or Mr. Stutzke, yeah, I'm having fun, that is music to my ears, because that's what they should be having. Everybody wants to be a winner. We know that. However, we have to learn that in the world that we're part of, we win and we lose. And we have to be just as gracious in losing as when we win. Unfortunately, what happens is that we have parents that are very much about winning and their particular child, that they forget that the other important thing that's being taught in high school sports is the idea truly of what the value of the team is, the experience, the relationships, because their kids are now playing with some who did not have the opportunity to be part of a comp team. That didn't come from a family, that they don't come from a family that can shell out that kind of money. And so you have the very diverse makeup of the high school program. And oftentimes it's difficult for parents to understand that their child has come from this winning comp program where you win at all costs, and then they come to the high school program and it may not meet their expectations. So we ask ourselves the question then, how do we encourage good sportsmanship at athletic events when it comes to the negative parental behavior? First and foremost, if you have a parent that is not showing good sportsmanship, remove them from the premise. It's very simple. An official calls to an athletic administrator's attention that there's a problem with some parents in the stands. You do not allow it to fester. You address the situation. You politely ask the parents to remember that we want the coaches to coach, we want the officials to officiate, and we want our student athletes to participate in obviously the sport of choice, the sport where they have a passion. So everybody has a responsibility when they come to an athletic event. And a parent's responsibility is to be in the stands and be supportive of their child, not to be critical, not to be critical of officials, and not to be critical of the opposition. It's one thing to be spirited, but when it becomes to the point where it is mean, where it's nasty, then it really is up to the school, the host school, to take control of the situation and remove those fans, in this case, parents, from the equation so that the competition can continue and so that good sportsmanship can be taught on the field and it can be experienced by those student athletes. So what would I like to see in a world that looked differently at comp travel type programs? And they are one and the same, of course. I think it's important for the coaches to understand that when a child leaves their program and goes to the high school program, that it is their job to be supportive, not to suggest to a parent that the only way their child will get a scholarship is if they continue to write the check for the comp program. Because it has been my experience over the years that when schools are looking for scholarship athletes, they're going to look at the high school that that student played at. They're going to take a look at the district or the conference that they're part of, the region that they're part of, the level of competition that they saw on a regular basis, and not just the select programs that are out and about. So I do feel that it is important that parents recognize that there is a difference, that they act accordingly. And I think it's important for kids to not be apprehensive over what would be the attitude or the actions of their parents when they come to spectate. The third part about the sports specific to coaching and our coaches in general, do I feel that coaches should be qualified by way of being certified? I certainly agree with that. I think there is so many opportunities for coaches at the club level, and I know that they have their different levels, and I think it's very important that high schools do the same thing, that the coaches that we have with young people today are certified. It makes it far more credible for the high school coach to sit with a parent, and when the parent, and they will, challenge the qualifications of the high school coach, that they're able to say, yes, I am a National Federation of High Schools certified coach, or any of the other organizations that offer bona fide certification programs for coaches, that they have that certification, and they are able to share with parents the certifications that they have.
Well, I think you handled that very well, which leads me into another question. I used to be a lot smarter when I was younger and knew all the answers. Now I have more questions than answers. But I do take a little issue with the National High School Coaches Association, because I don't think tennis, they've ignored it and they're not qualified. But I've taken issues with the USTA and the High Performance Coaching, which I'm a member of, and I think they do an outstanding job. I think that's what the state high school coaches organization, they know better, and they understand the training that has to be done. And I could go back to 15 years ago when I did the first training for the FACA, and I looked at people in the stands, and I brought in all PTR pros, and we're given instructions, and half of the people are looking at me, and I know I'm reading their mind, and I'm saying, wow, what is he talking about? I don't want players that can do that. And I realized, boy, did you blow this. And so we've changed the training, and who we are is, we learn by our mistakes. But it brings me to a question that I often ask. And then there's many ways to go into it, and it's high school tennis, and specifically, is it a high school activity or is it a high school sport? And now, I don't think we have time now to go into who's to blame. I mean, I looked in when I started coaching at the high school. The pay, while it was not significant, I think my wife figured I was losing I forgot what the number was, a significant amount of money by dropping what I was doing to do that. But the pay at Sebastian River, I should say pay, the stipend, was among the highest in the state, and it hasn't risen in 20 years. So I asked the question again, and I realized that after-school activities are important. I also have my own bias, like other people do. I believe sports is just as important. I do believe that sports, the competition of sports, what you go through prepares you for life, prepares you for your next journey, prepares you for the job you're going to have. I do believe that high school tennis in particular is a sleeping giant that we need to awaken. So I'd like to have your, what do you think? Is high school tennis an after-school activity or an after-school sport? And I've been blasted for this, and I've been complimented for this, so you have a shot to blast me too.
Well, I've always believed that it is a sport, and let me qualify that. Oftentimes, the high school athletic experience and the way we look at the programs that we offer are somewhat, in my humble opinion, not very realistic. Tennis, like golf, is a lifelong sport. And I believe that it deserves to have as much importance on a high school campus, quite frankly, as any other sport. And we try here at Sebastian River High School to do it. It's interesting. Before coming on the air with you this evening, I was out at our tennis courts, and I was watching the conclusion of our tennis match. And I looked at what was taking place and the camaraderie that was being shown. The competitiveness, obviously. I was catching the last part of the girls' match. But all of the good things that we want out of a high school athletic experience was taking place out there. And you know, I think between both schools, there's probably about 25 young people that were out there. It needs to always be considered a sport. The moment that you consider it an activity, you're saying that it doesn't have the same value as volleyball or football or baseball. The fact of the matter is we have had students, as you well know, John, that have left our high school on tennis scholarships. So from a scholarship standpoint, the NCAA doesn't look at it any differently. It's considered a sport. That should always be the litmus test at the high school level. So we know that there's opportunities for young people to earn a college education and cover the cost by their participation in the sport itself. But I believe the most important thing is that when you have young people that involve themselves in sports, that they can play throughout the rest of their life. That is so very important. I'm often reminded of friends of mine that continue to work in the business community, and they may get together for golf on the weekends. We all know that many a business deal was put together on the golf course. Many a business deal has been put together over the game of tennis. So from a social standpoint, I think the young person that gravitates to the sport be well served throughout the rest of their life from a social standpoint. Young man that plays football, the young lady that plays girls rugby, the chances of playing those sports past the age of 40, if they are so fortunate, very, very limited. But today we find folks that are well into their 80s. Can still pick up a golf club and can still pick up a tennis racket. And I think we need to be mindful with young people at the high school level that when sports are made available, tennis, golf, bowling, these are lifelong sports. And we should encourage the involvement in these sports, and high schools should support them to the same degree financially, facility-wise, uniform-wise, as you would any other sport on the campus.
Thank you. I think, you know, that's important. And I think it's important for us as coaches, and in particular as our organization, the FHSTCA, I'm continuously fighting for these ideas. And I hear people say, well, that's the USTA's job. That's the school board's job. That's the FACA board's job. That's the FHSAA's job. And I remind them that, you know, who are we? I'm a member of the PTR for 25-plus years. I'm a member of the USTA. I'm a member of my community. I've been to school board meetings. I'm a member of the FACA. I'm a member of the FHSAA. So why isn't it our responsibility? We have to sit there and go and address these issues with the school boards. We have to look at to the athletic directors and say, where do you need assistance and what can we do to help you? And I think you could do this without, you know, being rude or anything. We always tell people, if you have a problem with your coach, you know, talk to them, not during a match, but make an appointment. If you're not satisfied, contact the athletic director, set up a meeting. But in the same respect, we tell people, Wilson, who's supporting our All-Star, they just passed out in December the Coach of the Year Awards in the FHSAA 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A divisions. You know, recognize them. Tell them they're doing a good job. You need the community to be involved, and we're part of that community. So I appreciate, you know, you promoting the lifelong sports the way you do. The next step is I want to get to a point in Florida like Texas. Texas has a different problem than we do. They're two-year community colleges where we don't even have enough of them playing sports here. Those coaches are leaving the college to go to work in the high school because they're making more money as a high school tennis coach than they can as a college coach in a two-year college. How do we get to that point? What do we do?
Well, nobody likes to hear the word taxes. But yet at the same time, in the public school arena, the only way that you are going to build successful athletic programs, which increases the involvement of students on the campus in those sports programs, you have to fund them. And let's be perfectly honest, if you want to have successful programs, you had best have coaches that are willing to not only coach the sport that they have a passion for, that they have obviously the knowledge of, but you're going to have to compensate them. And the only way you're going to compensate them is through it's going to be dollars and cents. It's interesting. In 1994, when this high school opened, Indian River County, I think we ranked in the – well, I know we ranked in the top five in the state of Florida in what we compensated our coaches. That was something we were very proud of, and frankly, that was a real testament, if you will, to the vision in Indian River County when it came to high school sports. Today, we're in the bottom 25%, and that's very disappointing. It has been difficult to get an ear within our own district for more money for our coaches, and consequently, what happens is, you have a young coach, maybe played all 4 years in college in their chosen sport, and they make the comment that I'm about to share, and I've heard it many times over the years. Coach, I can go and work at Walmart from Thanksgiving through Christmas and make as much money as the supplement that you're offering with less hours, with less liability, and I don't have to deal with parents who expect miracles when we just don't have the players to field the type of team that they want to have, and that's because we don't have the funds to explore additional training opportunities for kids. We lose a lot of good young coaches because we are not willing to compensate them fairly for their time and respect the level of expertise that they bring to the table. And until that changes, I'm afraid that we will really just have to look at high school sports and count our blessings, at least from the athletic administrator standpoint, as to who is teaching at the campus or this latest trend, which has been building for the last decade. I believe right now the national statistic is somewhere around 40% of all high school coaches are community coaches. In other words, they are individuals who are not teachers. And one would ask the question, well, why would you not be able to fill your coaching ranks from your teachers? Very simple. In a litigious society, why would a classroom teacher, someone who's trained as an educator, risk losing their teaching license over an incident that takes place while they're coaching. And so many of them have stepped away and said, I can't risk it. I have a family. I have responsibilities. So the bottom line is this: no matter where you're getting your coaches, coaches have to be compensated. And for a high school coach who in a given sport is paid roughly $2,000, and they find out that their friend who is coaching a comp team is making $5,000 and $6,000 for essentially doing the same thing, it is a very tough pill to swallow. And so I think that this is a problem nationwide. I know that at the national conferences, and you talk with colleagues, we talk about the same thing. How do you get and how do you retain quality coaches at the high school level? And until such time as we are willing to pay these coaches an honest amount of money for the time and effort that they put into the sport, I think that we will struggle. The schools that have programs that are 75 and 100 years old, rich tradition, strong booster backings, they will thrive. They will be able to compensate their coaches in ways that the vast majority of schools are unable to do so.
Well, unfortunately, it's a fact, I guess. Well, Coach, I can't believe it. We've gone through just about a whole hour. And as you know, I'm always asking for something. And those of you that haven't, and there have been thousands that have viewed Mr. Stutzke's video on our FHSTCA training on our website, but I asked him to do that. He did. I'm going to ask you one more thing before your closing remarks. I'd like to have you back on the show about 6 months after you retire, because I'd like to have this same conversation, just see, you know, how much has changed, how much is, you know, the same. And quite frankly, I like to see where you are. So I have to go do some business I have to do, but do you have about a minute to sit there and, you know, talk to the audience about anything?
Sure. I think one of the things that's so very important is that in our society today, we have to reexamine and value the high school athletic experience. It is that one opportunity that young people have when they are involved, engaged in competitive sports that they learn from, that they can take with them throughout their life, those experiences, those relationships. We know for a fact, and one of the reasons that Title IX has been so forcefully enforced, is that young women today certainly will benefit, just like men have for the last 100 years in this country, from their experience in athletics. We know that it helps them be better citizens. We know that for young men and young women that have been involved in the interscholastic experience, they know how to deal with adversity. They know how to deal with losing and winning. They know what it's like to look at a competitor and whether they're on the pitch, on the field, on the court, to play hard, to play fair, and then afterwards to shake the hand of their opponent and know that there's another day. The lessons that can be learned through the interscholastic experience when it comes to high school sports are invaluable. And I think we can all only hope that we don't lose funding for sports in our schools today. So many high schools have had to look at cuts. We can't allow this to happen. It's way too important as far as the fabric of our society. And I think for those of us that have had our days, John, as coaches and as an athletic director at the high school level, we can really only hope for a better tomorrow when it comes to high school sports. And I believe that there's a generation coming forward now that is going to catch this at a critical time and work hard to have the funding for these programs, and will encourage more students at the high school level to become involved through emerging sports initiatives and through the reinforcement of the programs that traditionally we've gotten to know throughout the high school experience. I want to thank you for having me on, John. I know we've talked about it for a long time. It gives me an opportunity to also thank you once again for everything you did here at Sebastian River High School, what you do for the tennis community, and for hosting a show like this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. And hopefully everybody, those of you that heard me speak many times about what a great athletic director I have, I think you have an understanding now of what I've been talking about. I usually don't try to paint a rose prettier than it is, and I do feel blessed to have worked for this gentleman for so long. I should mention I was on a conversation in London today, and we have a group that is, for those of you in South Florida, if you have players that are taking lessons or playing three times a week and want to participate in program where they will sit there and handle questions starting on the 9th of March, there's an opportunity for your player to get between $160 and $200 clothing voucher thing from Adidas. They do have to be available for a five-day online diary. I think it's a great experience. Everybody talks about going pro. I like to get kids into college, and these are things that will help them there. So I think this program would be very good. If you contact me, I'd be glad to share it. Truthfully, we also have an advantage. As you know, every not-for-profit organization has financial needs. And for 16 people, they will give us $200 for every person we have. So if you do have a young lady that you're working with and she's in South Florida, by all means, contact us. I think it's a good way to get your player exposure. Hopefully it'll help them get ready for college. I will remind you that next week we're going out of state. We have Bobby Klenetic, the president of the Texas Coaches Association. I often kid we compete against each other as our expectations, but they're doing a lot of great things. I think the reason they tennis is definitely a sport there, they do have a co-ed team event in the fall. Right now they're participating like we are, but come fall they will have another league. And that presents another problem to athletic director and school boards. You do have to hire another coach again, but I think the value of having people in sports is just great. In March, we have Ed Krasen and his 1-1 doubles coming up. In April, we'll be having Paul Lobers, the head of the high-performance coaching, coming up. I remind you again, the All-Star event, please recognize your high school seniors. They are not picked to go to Winter Park. It doesn't matter. Sebastian River High School, for the last 4 years, has honored their high school seniors and nominated them. It used to be a $35 fee. It's now a $25 fee per student. They know, the athlete knows that the school cares about them. The FHS, TCA, and they know that we care about them. None of those people have been chosen to go to Lincoln Park, but they're as much part of our all-star team as the people that get to participate. So please help us, help your community, recognize your high school seniors, nominate them, you know, the $25 fee for nomination. We will send them a certificate. Hopefully they'll be chosen to go to Winter Park, but if they're not chosen to go to Winter Park, they'll know they're part of the All-Star team. And, you know, let's make sure that their memories of tennis is going now, and it's going to. So thank you for joining us. Please have a blessed week. Tell your friends to tune in next week again, and we'll try to bring you an outstanding show, and hopefully we'll have somebody outstanding like this athletic director. We're going to miss him, but he is right. The school is going to go on and be even better, but it's going to be because of the foundation that he's left in that school. And, I'm just so proud to have been able to work for him for so long. Have a blessed week. Talk with you next week. Take care now.